here at home and intensive care hotline. I want to welcome you to today's live stream. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are. Today's live stream is about, can my mother be weaned off the ventilator and tracheostomy at home? That is today's topic, and that's what I want to focus on today. I want to give you some examples and want to answer that question. So hopefully there's no more ambiguity for you and your family going forward, what you should be doing next. If you find that your mother or your father or your spouse or your brother or your sister, or your child is in intensive care, and I want to focus on children as well. So before I dive into today's topic, I want to just quickly introduce myself and also want to talk about what makes me qualified talking about this topic. You might be wondering, well, what makes this guy qualified to talk about this topic? So again, my name is Patrick Hutzel. I'm the founder of Intensive Care at Home and also Intensive Care Hotline. I am a critical care nurse by background. I have worked in critical care / intensive care for over 20 years in 3 different countries. Out of those over 20 years in ICU, I've worked for over 5 years as a nurse unit manager in intensive care. I've always also worked with intensive care at home, and I founded Intensive Care at Home here in Melbourne, Australia in 2012. And we've been running intensive care at home ever since then. So that's a little bit about me and my background. I've also consulted and counseled and advocated for families in intensive care all over the world through Intensive Care Hotline. And again, that's been happening for the last 9 years now. So let's focus on today's topic. Can my mother be weaned off the ventilator and tracheostomy at home instead of intensive care? And again, I could replace, can my mother, can my father, can my spouse, can my brother, can my child, grandmother, grandfather, you can replace that with any family relation really. Can they be weaned off at home instead of intensive care? And it's a great question to ask. Now, like with anything medical, it's very rarely clear cut. Now, the answer, the short answer to that question is that it depends, you know. Some people can, some people can't. It also depends on, you know, where is your loved one in the weaning process. For example, if your loved one has been in intensive care for 3 months on a ventilator with a tracheostomy, has had multiple failed weaning attempts, and if we look at the case and we think, well, they just need another week and then they can be off the ventilator and then have the tracheostomy removed, it's probably more complicated to go home rather than wait another week or so. So it is really important that you choose the right path for your loved one in where they're at. You know, whilst we are all for home care, you don't want to be going into a home care situation with intensive care at home if you only have limited time that your loved one needs to get off that ventilator. So there's really no point in going home, because setting up intensive care at home is doable, but it's also complex. And I come to that a bit later, that you don't want to choose intensive care at home just for the sake of it, because it sounds good. You know, you got to look at the logistics, you got to look at the safety aspect. You got to look at where you want to go in the long run, because you got to keep in mind, you know, intensive care at home, you do need to replicate what's happening in intensive care at home. And whilst we've done it many times successfully, it takes a little bit of time to set up. Therefore, you can't just rush into it because you're desperate to get out of hospital. I get it that you're desperate to get out of hospital. It's very frustrating. I understand all of that. But safety is paramount. You can't be going home without the right support structure in place so that it's absolutely safe for your loved one to leave intensive care and replicate intensive care in the home, which is what needs to happen to make this safe. So when would I be recommending for someone to go home on a ventilator with a tracheostomy so that they can be weaned at home? So one of the prime examples that I would like to take here is really Guillain-Barré syndrome. Okay, Guillain-Barré syndrome is a neuromuscular disease where people pretty much have, you know, can't move anymore, and that obviously includes the breathing muscles. Many of those Guillain-Barré patients end up in ICU, being partially paralyzed at least for a while, end up on a ventilator, end up with a tracheostomy, end up with often immunoglobulin therapy, which often helps. And then once the therapy is kicking in, they need to very slowly start to learn to move again, start to learn to move their arms, move their legs, get mobilized, starting to eat and drink again. It's a very arduous and slow process, which I actually believe can be speeded up at home rather than in a depressing intensive care environment. And you know, those Guillain-Barré patients in particular stay in ICU for a very long time if no one's coming to the rescue to take them home, so to speak. So that is a prime example to take a long-term patient home and wean them off at home. Very few Guillain-Barré patients stay with the tracheostomy and ventilation for the rest of their lives. Some of them really do recover, and they recover well. So that's just one example where, you know, going home is a very good next step. Hi, Modema, nice to see you again. Another case study, if you will, where you can go home and wean ventilation and tracheostomy at home is, for example, children. So, and I'm even talking about the very young ones, I'm talking about premature babies, for example. We've had some situations where we weaned a couple of children off the tracheostomy at home, you know, and they're now hopefully living normal lives. It was a very very joyful experience helping those kids to transition from ventilation to tracheostomy to home, and now they're decannulated and hopefully they're progressing well in their lives. Very enjoyable experience. So this, the case studies are there where someone can go home and be weaned off the ventilator at home. Definitely doable, but it's a little bit of right place, right time. And again, just when, as I was saying in the beginning, you don't want to be going home on a ventilator with a tracheostomy if your loved one needs another week in ICU to get off that ventilator and get off the tracheostomy. There's no point in setting up home care with intensive care at home. Simply, you know, you need a team of 24/7 intensive care nurses. Whilst that can all be set up, you know, it's more something that will be set up for the long term, not so much for the short term. You know, you also want a stable team. You don't want to have people coming and going. So, you know, if it can be approached from a long-term perspective, you will get more stability and also more safety. Because unfortunately, if you don't have 24 hours intensive care nurses at home for someone on a ventilator with a tracheostomy, especially if you want to wean them, it's a recipe for disaster. Absolute recipe for disaster. Unfortunately, we've seen clients pass away where we were only doing night shifts and there was no day shift for a ventilated and tracheostomy patient. And we have seen some tragic cases. So I'm not making this up. I'm talking from experience. So the first step, really, the first determination you should be making is, if my loved one can't come off the ventilator in ICU within a reasonable amount of time, that is the time when you should be thinking about going home. That's the time when you should be starting to talk to people. You know, how can it be set up? Again, if you are in Australia in particular, you should be reaching out to us at Intensive Care at Home. You should be reaching out to us if you're in America too. But you should be reaching out to us one way or another. We can help you, guide you step by step. We can help you guide with funding, you know, who's going to pay for it. Please, again, bear in mind that, you know, people might tell you, oh, no one's going to pay for this. And that's a whole lot of nonsense. We wouldn't be in business if no one would be paying for it. Many people have an active interest in paying for intensive care at home. because it cuts the cost of an intensive care bed by around 50%, and it frees up an in-demand ICU bed. ICU beds were in high demand before COVID. You probably have an inclination that the demand of ICU beds during COVID has even become higher. So you can see that people actually have an interest in freeing up ICU beds and getting people home, because it creates a win-win situation for everyone, right? So, but the right timing is critical. Also, if you do think about getting your loved one home on a ventilator, you know, they need to be, generally speaking, liberated from other mechanisms of life support. They need to be off inotropes, off vasopressors, you know, and that is then, if they're liberated from all other mechanisms of life support, and if you are then, if you then know that your loved one can't be weaned off the ventilator within a few weeks or a few months, that is the time when you should be considering going home. Again, you should be contacting us. We should then be looking at funding sources. Who will pay for this? There's definitely someone paying for this. No question about this. You shouldn't worry about it. It all comes down to talking to the right people. It all comes down to the right advocacy. Now with the NDIS, the National Disability Insurance Scheme here in Australia, a lot of doors have opened through that scheme to pay for services like intensive care at home, you know, go from there. Now, there are many other situations, and I've made other live streams and videos about this, where people go home and they're not going home with the goal of weaning. We are specifically talking today about with the goal of weaning someone off the ventilator, because there are many other clients that do go home on a ventilator with a tracheostomy, but they can't be weaned. Okay, they can't be weaned. For example, take a C1 spinal injury patient, MND, motor neuron disease, you know, those patients unfortunately can't be weaned, and therefore, you know, it's more like the long-term nursing care, with the goals are focusing on quality of life day by day, quality of life, you know, focusing on spending time with family. Whereas if you go home to wean someone off the ventilator, you know, the goal is to wean them off the ventilator and liberate them as quickly as possible. So once you've determined, or we determined with you, should they be going home, then we can look at the funding source, then we can look at the team. We need to look at your location, of course. You know, the closer to a metropolitan area, generally speaking, the better it is to set up staffing and find staffing. Because, you know, if you are in a rural area or a regional area, it's much more difficult to find staff. You know, because most ICU nurses are mainly in the metropolitan areas and not so much in rural areas. So keep that in mind. That's not to say that a regional or that it can't be done in a regional or a rural area, but it's going to be more difficult to set up. It's going to be more expensive. You want to keep that in mind when it comes to setting it up. Setting up intensive care at home. Next. So the funding bodies, again, should be having an interest in getting your loved one out of ICU, cutting cost by around 50%. The ICU should have an interest in getting your loved one home, freeing up an ICU bed. Again, this is a win-win situation for everyone. You need to make sure there is 24-hour intensive care nursing at home. Need to make sure there's someone overseeing the medical care, and again, we can help you with setting that up. You need to make sure there's allied health professionals, for example, that there's a physiotherapist, a physical therapist, an OT, an occupational therapist, a speech therapist. So you need a whole team to pull this off, really. Okay, but again, it can be done once you're at home, once you've got 24-hour intensive care nursing with us here at intensive care at home, with our ICU nurses. The next step is to then look at a weaning plan. Okay, so what does a weaning plan look like? A weaning plan looks like that every day, you know, you're taking measured steps to be weaning someone off a ventilator. So what does that look like? you know, it looks like, for example, taking someone off a ventilator at 10 o'clock in the morning for an hour. It might even look like taking someone off a ventilator for 10 minutes at 10 o'clock in the morning, and then maybe another 10 minutes at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then maybe another 10 minutes at 6 o'clock in the afternoon, and then a rest overnight, and then the next day you do 15 minutes at the same time, and the next day you do 20 minutes. It can be a very slow process, but you got to start somewhere. Some people develop quicker than others. What is very important, that if you do wean at home on a ventilator, mobilization is key. Mobilization is absolute key. You know, you need to combine taking someone off the ventilator with mobilization. Imagine you're lying in bed all day. You cannot strengthen your breathing muscles. It's very difficult. Whereas if you're sitting up, your upper body will automatically strengthen because you got to sit up. That's one step. And the next step is then to do breathing exercises, for example. You know, a good ICU nurse can do that. A good ICU physiotherapist or physical therapist can do it. For our American friends, you might have a respiratory therapist involved. But, you know, a good ICU nurse knows what to do when it comes to weaning, right? And it is also directed by the medical team, of course. But most ICU nurses know what to do. Not the first time they're weaning, you know. Nutrition needs to be optimized. Physical exercise needs to be optimized again with a physiotherapist or a physical therapist, you know. So equipment needs to be optimized, such as, you know, you need a recliner chair, you need a hoist machine or lifting machine, you know, so you can actually get someone mobilized, you know. But just picture this, your loved one being weaned at home in a loving, caring family environment, as opposed to weaning in ICU, where it's noisy, it's loud, it's people running around 24 hours a day, where patients have a disturbed day and night rhythm. You can see the benefits of home care straight away, you know. Some of you that have done your research a bit more closely, you might say, well, how can this be done at home without arterial blood gases? You know, most patients would go home without an arterial line. Yeah, that is correct. But, you know, you can do capillary gases. There are ways of monitoring CO2, also through a CO2 capnograph, through the monitor. So there's a variety of ways how to monitor vital parameters every day. So you can measure progress. Very important to measure progress every day. Now, some of you might ask straight away, how long does it take? Well, that is difficult to say, depending on the underlying condition. As I mentioned a minute ago, Guillain-Barré can take a long time, also because of other therapy that needs to happen at the same time. With immunoglobulin therapy, which can be given at home as well, by the way. You know, there's no need to do that in hospital. You know, and just coming back quickly to Guillain-Barré syndrome, patients weaning at home, you know, the number of Guillain-Barré patients I've seen in ICU staying there for 6 or 9 months and being depressed. Being depressed. And imagine now where you still have some ICUs in lockdown, where you still have some ICUs limiting the number of visitors, if they allow visitors at all. Imagine your loved one stuck in ICU long term, whether it's with Guillain-Barré syndrome or anything else, and you can't visit them. That's just terrible. That's just terrible. And thank God there is an alternative for that. Thank God there is intensive care at home. And thank God, you know, you don't need to be bowing down to intensive care teams if you don't like what you're seeing there. Now, breaking down the weaning process in a little bit more detail. So, for example, you need, you know, a written weaning plan from the intensive care team or from the respiratory therapist or from the respiratory physician, you know, so you can put this care plan into place when your loved one is going home, again, with measurable goal, clearly defined goals. You know, today we're doing 2 hours off the ventilator, if that can be tolerated, Maybe the next day we extend that to 2.5 hours. Maybe we extend it to 3 hours. Maybe we double it. Who knows? Depends a little bit on the individual and the condition. It's a little bit harder with children because, you know, depending on how old the children are, can they follow instructions? You know, some of those kids can follow instructions. Others may not be quite there yet. But then again, children, generally speaking, develop in terms of, you know, they're growing, they're getting stronger. That's a natural progression of children. Whereas with adults, you know, if you don't treat them well, and if you don't train them, if you don't exercise them, they're going backwards, and then you have to start from scratch again. So to a degree, that's much easier with children. Now, here is another thing that needs to happen when someone is going home for ventilator weaning. Now, you might have heard me say in some of my other videos or blog posts that I'm opposing a PEC tube, especially, again, for our American friends, when it comes to LTAC and people going to LTAC for home care, for ventilation weaning and home care. I absolutely advocate for a PEC tube because that is the safest option when someone is going home to have a PEC tube, because if the nasogastric tube fell out, you know, it has to be reinserted. It often needs a chest x-ray. So there's risks attached. For going home, I would advocate for a PEC. It doesn't have to be temporary. It doesn't have to be permanent. It shouldn't be permanent. But in terms of client safety or clinical safety, a PEC tube is the best option for nutrition until your loved one can hopefully eat and drink again. Okay, so moving along, what do you need in terms of skills? So when someone is going home to be weaned off the ventilator and tracheostomy, as I said, you need a team of intensive care nurses. You also need a medical team overseeing it. But the work can be done by intensive care nurses at home, which you can get through us, intensive care at home. The doctors need to oversee it. But I don't, you know, depending on how much research you've done, we exclusively work with ICU nurses with a minimum of 2 years ICU nursing experience. And, you know, those people had the experience of weaning patients off the ventilator in ICU, so they can help your loved one going from A to B. Okay. So very important to look at the quality of staff you're getting. You don't want to be working with someone at home that doesn't hire intensive care nurses. It's a recipe for disaster, potentially a recipe for death, as I alluded to earlier. Well, some of our clients have passed away at home because we were only funded for night shift and there was no ICU nurses during the day. And people have passed away because family members, disability support workers, or even general RNs couldn't manage medical emergencies for clients at home with a ventilator and a tracheostomy. It's a tragedy beyond words what happened there. And I need you to be aware of what safety aspects you need to have in place before going home. Now, then also, I just want to quickly mention, you know, there is the exception to the rule. Patients like, for example, C1 spinal injury, C2 spinal injury, MND, motor neuron disease, chances that those people can be weaned off a ventilator at home are pretty slim to none. So it's really focusing on, you know, the Guillain-Barré. It's also a case of focusing on patients such as if they have, for example, rib fractures and they've been intubated for a while and, you know, they've had a pneumothorax and so forth and they're just a bit slow to wean off, that could be another reason or another clinical condition where your loved one could go home to have the weaning done at home. And again, very important that got the right team, and that can take a little bit of time to get the right team together. You know, there's sometimes a little bit of trial and error. Some people might come to your loved one where you feel a little bit uneasy, and either we have to fine-tune their approach, right? Or you just have to give it a little bit more time until you warm up with some people. But it can be a little bit uncomfortable, especially in the beginning, to find the right people for your loved one. So you got to be a little bit patient there until the staff have adjusted and you have adjusted to the staff. In terms of cost, again, an ICU bed costs probably now around $6,000 per bed day within 24 hours, whereas, you know, intensive care at home is probably half of that cost. And the ICU has a bed that's vacant for more critically ill patients. So it's a win-win situation overall. And also, for our American friends, weaning at home is the much more desirable option than going to LTAC. I mean, I've spoken about LTAC and their deficiencies at length, so I don't want to go into detail now. You can type into Google intensive care hotline at LTAC. You'll get a ton of information why we are strictly advising against LTAC. And go from there. So I really tried to condense that today to A, so you can see what's possible, B, what needs to happen. You know, we talked not a great detail in with equipment about equipment. I have again made videos about equipment for intensive care at home, but you know, you need two ventilators, you need two suction machines, you need two monitors, you need a special care bed, you need a hoist, whether it's a ceiling hoist or a portable hoist. You need nebulizer machines, you need spare tracheostomies, you need tracheostomy dilators, you need resuscitation bags. You know, that's just in a nutshell to keep your loved one safe at home. Now, I do want to open up the floor for any questions that you may have. They can be to the topic, and now I'm also happy to answer questions that are not to the topic today. So shoot away with your questions, type them into the chat pad, and I'm looking forward to answering them. And while I'm waiting for your questions, I should quickly talk about allied health. What does allied health mean? Allied health means health professionals such as physiotherapists or physical therapists, such as occupational therapists, such as speech therapists. Now, especially around physiotherapists or physical therapists, they need to have ICU experience. They need to have the experience where they wean someone off the ventilator, so they know what to do on a ventilator. They know how to mobilize a patient, what body parts to focus on, how to strengthen their breathing muscles. It's critically important that you get someone there that is experienced in that area. We can help you with finding one too, but I can't stress enough that especially a physical therapist or a physiotherapist is critically important to have at home. They can also advise, for example, would a cough assist be beneficial in the weaning process? They're the experts on that. So there are many very good reasons why you need a highly proficient physiotherapist or physical therapist for weaning someone off the ventilator and tracheostomy at home. And once again, going home is the much better option than LTAC for our American friends. If you are in Australia or in the UK, you know, there's no reason why you can't go home from ICU directly. There are no LTACs, thank God for that. You know, that would be my advice. If there are no questions today, which is a bit unusual, but you know, maybe there are none today, and that's absolutely fine. Then I just want to thank you for your support, and I want to thank you for coming on to these live streams. And you know, I'll see you again next week, next Sunday, 10:30 a.m. Sydney, Melbourne time, which is, I believe it will be 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, 7:30 Central time, 6:30 Mountain time, and 5:30 Pacific time. I'll do these again next week. I'll do another one again next week. Now, if you have a loved one in intensive care, go and check out intensivecarehotline.com and call us on one of the numbers on the top of our website, or send us an email to support@intensivecarehotline.com. Yeah, look, even though there's people here, not everyone wants to ask a question. That's absolutely fine. I hope that everybody got value out of it anyway. And the recording will be up, you know, later today after it's been uploaded. And you can always ask questions below after the video has been uploaded and has been made available for everyone. Now, if you are getting value out of this video, give it a thumbs up. Subscribe to my YouTube channel for updates for families in intensive care and for live streams. Comment below what you want to see next, what questions you have, comments or insights, and click the notification bell. I once again want to thank you for coming on to the live stream, and I want to thank you for your support. And I'm sure you'll have more questions next week when we do another live stream. Thanks again, everyone, for coming on, and I will talk to you next week.